Chapter 3, and now you've obviously been going through it fairly slowly because we're now nearing the end in chapter 23, and I shall start by reading that chapter, entitled in my Bible, Joshua's Farewell to the Leaders. After a long time had passed and the Lord had given Israel rest from all their enemies around them, Joshua, by then a very old man, summoned all Israel, their elders, leaders, judges and officials, and said to them, "I am very old. You yourselves have seen everything the Lord your God has done to all these nations for your sake. It was the Lord your God who fought for you. Remember how I have allotted as an inheritance for your tribes all the land of the nations that remain, the nations I conquered, between the Jordan and the Mediterranean Sea in the west. The Lord your God himself will push them out for your sake. He will drive them out before you, and you will take possession of their land, as the Lord your God promised you. Be very strong. Be careful to obey all that is written in the book of the Lord of Moses, without turning aside to the right or to the left. Do not associate with these nations that remain among you. Do not invoke the names of their gods or swear by them. You must not serve them or bow down to them, but you are to hold fast to the Lord your God, as you have until now. The Lord has driven out before you great and powerful nations. To this day, no one has been able to withstand you. One of you routs 1,000, because the Lord your God fights for you, just as he promised. So be very careful to love the Lord your God. But if you turn away and ally yourselves with the survivors of these nations that remain among you, and if you intermarry with them and associate with them, then you may be sure that the Lord your God will no longer drive out these nations before you. Instead, they will become snares and traps for you, whips on your backs and thorns in your eyes, until you perish from this good land which the Lord your God has given you. Now I am about to go the way of all the earth. You know with all your heart and soul that not one of all the good promises the Lord your God gave you has failed. Every promise has been fulfilled. Not one has failed. But just as all the good things the Lord your God has promised you have come to you, so he will bring on you all the evil things he has threatened until the Lord your God has destroyed you from this good land he has given you. If you violate the covenant of the Lord your God, which he commanded you, and go and serve other gods and bow down to them, the Lord's anger will burn against you, and you will quickly perish from the good land he has given you." May the Lord bless us as we come to look at this, his word. So, since the previous chapter, chapter 22, time has moved on. In comparison with all the turmoil of the conquest, recent years have been relatively uneventful for the Israelites. The Lord had given Israel rest, it says in verse 1. And they were all perhaps a generation older than they were at the end of the previous chapter. Joshua himself was, it says, by then a very old man. I think we tend not to notice these long, peaceful interludes in the Bible account. They just take up one verse. So we think that Bible times were full of activity, when actually they mostly weren't. A bit like nowadays, perhaps. We've just had a change of government, and we're waiting to see what it will mean. But the last change was 14 years ago, and the one before that was 27 years ago. And before that, 45 years ago. Mostly, it's life continuing as usual for us now and for the Israelites in the time of Joshua as well. So in this chapter, Joshua is addressing the leaders of the whole of Israel, looking back over the dramatic events of many decades earlier, and over the less eventful recent years, and giving them a perspective on all that has happened. We say has happened, but notice that is not how Joshua sees it. He refers to it in verse 3 as everything the Lord your God has done, and reminds them that it was the Lord your God who fought for you. And perhaps they needed that reminder that it wasn't just stuff happening, but God's direct activity. And perhaps we also need that reminder. In the to and fro of an election campaign, with its emphasis on what this or that politician has said or done, it often seems that it is all purely human activity, for better or for worse. It's not always easy to see where God is in all of this. And perhaps it is still not easy in these early days of a new government to see what God is up to. It may become clearer in the weeks and months ahead. I hope so. What is important is that we should try to maintain a God-centered perspective on all that has happened, is happening, and will happen. It's not just human activity. It is God working his purposes out. And we need to remind ourselves frequently of that fact. Look at verse 4. Joshua reminds them how he parcelled out the whole land between the River Jordan and the Mediterranean Sea, as was described in great detail in chapters 13 up to 21. But the land was still occupied by the nations that remain, it says. In verse 5, it is promised that the Lord will push them out. He will drive them out. You will take possession of the land. But it hasn't happened yet, although many years have passed. It will happen, but it's going to take a lot longer than the people thought or hoped. And this resonates with us, doesn't it? In the light of all those election manifesto promises. Each party tells us what it will do, but actually doing it will take time, perhaps a long time. God was active then, and he is active now, but it may not be on our timescale. God's timescale was rather different, and it still is. We need to be patient and courageous, as the Israelites did. And that's what Joshua goes on to tell them in verse 6. Be strong, be very strong. Be careful to obey all that is written in the book of the law of Moses without turning aside to the right or the left. I leave it to you to work out the present political implications of those words. Above all, they are to hold fast to the Lord your God, as you have until now, in verse 8. They are to avoid, most of all, the false gods of the people amongst whom they have to live. And this is a word for us, I believe. We are surrounded by people who worship other gods, economic gods, nationalistic gods, political gods, even football gods. And they're all false gods who can lead us into wrong paths. As Joshua puts it in verse 11, we must be very careful to love the Lord your God, especially when so many other false gods are being promoted on all sides by the winners and the losers in the recent contest. And Joshua follows this with a warning in verse 12. If you turn away and ally yourselves with other nations and serve their false gods, they will become snares and traps for you. And God will no longer be fighting for you, as he has, even though maybe not given the credit for it, in the past. It is good to have changes of government when the time is right. But it is not the ultimate good. It is not God. And we must never confuse the two. So Joshua draws to a close. He looks ahead to his own death in verse 14 with serenity and with confidence, knowing that he has followed God in obedience all through his life. He reminds the Israelites that not one of all the good promises the Lord your God gave you has failed. Not all of them have been completed, as we've seen, but neither have they failed. All have been fulfilled so far. It's a bit like in New Testament times, the idea of living in God's kingdom. God's kingdom is here among us, but it's also not yet. There's also a lot more to come. We have to live in the now but not yet kingdom. They had to live in the now but not yet conquest. And we have to live in the now but not yet change of government and whatever that might be. However, there is still some uncertainty. Completion of the promises, says Joshua, will depend on continued faithfulness. If the Israelites are unfaithful, then the good things will grind to a halt or even go into reverse. And if we look ahead into the book of Judges, that is exactly what happened. Long periods of forgetting God and being conquered by other nations alternate in Judges with bouts of repentance, remembering God and regaining their independence. Just as Joshua predicted in verse 16, if you violate the covenant of the Lord your God, which he commanded you, and go and serve other gods and bow down to them, the Lord's anger will burn against you, and you will quickly perish from the good land he has given you. And so it is with us, I believe, at this turning point in our national life. Whoever we voted for, as Enid pointed out in her prayers, there is a new government to live with. We need to give them space, to give them our support, now that the election is done, and above all, to pray for them, as we have. They're taking over at a difficult time in the life of our nation, and they will face many hard decisions. May they make those decisions in justice and honesty, in wisdom and with courage. Amen. Thank you.